Welcome back to the Citizens Defending Freedom Show. Coming up today, we will talk about how the Texas State Library and Archives Commission has announced it will sever ties with the American Library Association. We will hear from Lucas Miles, nationally recognized author of Woke Jesus, and how Texas voters demand election integrity. All of that and more is ahead on today's show. But first, before we get started, head to our website, citizensdefendingfreedom.com, and hit the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss out on any of our content. The Texas State Library and Archives Commission has announced it will sever ties with the American Library Association. The ALA, one of the oldest and largest nonprofit library associations in the world, has come under fire recently for its election of a self-proclaimed Marxist lesbian president, as well as its effort to silence conservative voices at the nationwide See You at the Library event. Emily Drabinski, who took to Twitter to announce her appointment as ALA president in 2022, has used her position to censor conservative viewpoints and promote radical ideological agendas. Emily said in her own tweet, "I just cannot believe that a Marxist lesbian who believes that collective power is possible to build and can be wielded for a better world is the president-elect of ALA Library." She has since deleted that tweet, but we have the receipts. Texas Representative Brian Harrison called for TSLAC to sever ties with the ALA, stating, "Texas should be leading the fight against dangerous Marxist ideology, not subsidizing it with my constituents' hard-earned tax dollars." For the past several months, Texas members of Citizens Defending Freedom have been working closely with some of the members of the Texas State Board of Education and Texas legislators to encourage the state to end its relationship with the woke organization. The Texas State Board of Education voted to cut ties with the ALA in April 2023. Additionally, Citizens Defending Freedom has provided talking points for those seeking to terminate their membership with the ALA and their state counterparts in a resource that can be found on our website. Texas is not the first state to take issue with the radical ideologies that the ALA is promoting. In June, members of the Montana State Library Commission voted in a 6-1 vote to immediately withdraw from the ALA after state representatives raised the alarm, making them the first state to officially withdraw from the organization. Brave Books recently hosted a nationwide See You at the Library book reading event that saw thousands of families show up at local libraries across 46 states to participate in story hours that focus on Christian and American values. In a video presented to librarians on June 8th, the ALA schemed with its local library officials to skirt the events. The presentation reportedly included a slide that specifically described how to prevent Brave Book story hours from happening at libraries across the country. One story hour hosted in Georgia saw librarians schedule a disruptive Nerf gun battle during the story hour's scheduled time. This has led to citizens in the state calling on withdrawal from the ALA. In Idaho, 13 legislators have called on the Idaho Commission for Libraries to also withdraw from the ALA, citing their concerns over their involvement in exposing children to explicit materials and injecting hard left politics and sexuality into publicly funded libraries. Now we are with Lucas Miles, a nationally recognized author and pastor, most recently known for his book, Woke Jesus. Lucas, a couple questions. First one being, how long have you been a pastor?
I've been a pastor for, I started preaching when I was 17. So I will be 44 this year. So I've been preaching for a long time. And I've been a pastor in the same church, though, since 2004. So almost 20 years in one location as a senior pastor.
When did you begin to speak out on what's now controversial biblical values?
Yeah, so let me unpack that a little bit. Early on in ministry, especially when I first started, I was in a university, I was in a secular school, went to Purdue University. They had a great campus ministry there at the time. And this is sort of, this had been, early 2000s, 99, 2000, right around there. It was my first years of college. And I, at that time, like Christian music was a major, major thing within the Christian world. It didn't probably have the same reputation that it does today. We had artists like the legacy of Rich Mullins. He had passed away at that point in a car accident, but, it was super impactful. And there was these seeds of sort of like Christian socialism that had been planted that hadn't yet come to fruition of what they are today. But I was captured by that pretty early on. I was infatuated with these stories of people I was reading that were like taking vows of poverty and like, you know, living in communes and community and these things. And I always tell people, like, part of my story is there was a moment where I think like I was at least on the fringes of the Christian left in this kind of early time. And I wasn't, you know, I didn't leave a biblical paradigm completely. I didn't change my view on sexuality or gender or something like that. I still believed in a biblical morality, but the social side of it, that social justice movement that was coming on the scene, that was very, very intriguing to me. And thankfully, I had some people in my life that really saw, I think, that kind of starting to slide into that, that were willing to kind of be honest with me and speak to me. And looking back, it really saved, you know, my ministry and saved probably my heart in many ways that they did so. And so I say this as somebody who understands sort of that siren song of progressive thought and thankfully, you know, survived my encounter with it.
How did your congregation handle it?
Yeah. So in 20, so I'm in South Bend, Indiana. It's a, you know, Indiana's a red state, super majority red. Though our governor's a little bit wishy-washy. But our county is notoriously a left-leaning county. And so, you know, Mayor Pete Buttigieg was the mayor of South Bend, you know, here in my city. So I started seeing Mayor Pete's rise and the kind of the attention that he was getting and being quoted in Rolling Stone magazine and New York Times and different things, you know, as a small town mayor. And one of the first openly gay mayors in America. And I started warning people. I just really felt like the Lord kind of like showed me what was happening here, that I started warning that this guy's making a run for higher office. And people thought I was crazy. And there's no way that the small town Indiana mayor is going to run for president or something like that. And so in about 2013, 2014, I started getting a little bit more brave from the pulpit, more passionate. By 2015, 2016, I was all in. And we lost about 40 to 50% of our church when we started speaking these things out. Now, I tell people, I don't own a red hat. I didn't endorse a candidate from the stage. Our church service was not a Trump rally, though I voted proudly for Donald Trump both times. But we started talking about, what does the Bible have to say about marriage, sexuality, gender, open borders, socialism, these things. We addressed the topics head on, abortion. And we had people that we thought were with us, that when we started touching on these social issues, they were out the door. And literally, when I say 40 to 50% of our church, that was in about a 4 to 6 week period, we lost 40 to 50% of our church. It was one series that I did on what does the Bible have to say on basically developing a biblical worldview around social issues, and people just walked out the door. It, of course, tanked our revenue, put us in major jeopardy from that standpoint. And what I would tell any pastor out there today, I would do that 100 times over. It has been worth every bit of effort and worth every bit of pain. Because where we are at now, our church has grown 4 times in the last year. We have, you know, we've got momentum. We've got people that are on fire. We've got exciting stuff. People can't wait to come to church on Sunday. And we're breaking every single, you know, bad news church statistic that's out there. We're just throwing those away and we're growing. And look, it doesn't mean it wasn't hard. There was a period of years where it was difficult. But it was worth pushing through to really get us to where we are today. So, you know, pastors, we have to be bold. We have to do the right thing no matter what.
Thank you, Lucas. To view our full podcast, head to our Rumble channel, Citizens Defending Freedom. Next, the Williamson County Elections Commission met for the first time since 2015 to accept the sudden and unexplained resignation of Elections Administrator Christopher Davis. The Williamson County Elections Department is currently supervised by the Elections Administrator, an appointed position which Davis has served in since 2016. Davis, who also served as the Texas Association of Elections Administrators past president in 2020, and most recently the legislative liaison for the Texas Association of Election Administrators, has come under fire by Wilco voters for repeated failure since 2020 to ensure election integrity in local elections. Over the last 12 12 months, Williamson County Citizens Defending Freedom, True Texas Elections, and concerned members of the community have been exposing what they believe to be numerous violations of Texas election codes and multiple discrepancies that occurred during the general election in November of 2020. These potential violations, which are both civil and criminal in nature, occurred under Davis's tenure. Local citizens have sent numerous emails, made phone calls, and spoke out at many public hearings asking for an agenda item be added to a commissioner court meeting for discussion and consideration to move Wilco elections back under the tax assessor collection or county clerk, all of which have been ignored. Citizens in Williamson County are demanding that the county commissioners and county election commissioner review ongoing issues related to election integrity and carefully consider placing the supervision of county elections back into the hands of an elected official. This change would allow voters to be directly involved in the accountability, transparency, and reliability of their local elections. Here's what Marsha Watson, Executive Director for Citizens Defending Freedom Williamson County, had to say.
Williamson County citizens and voters want a direct voice in who oversees our elections. We want an elected official who will take action and take an oath of office under our Constitution and be accountable to all voters. If our local elections administrator cannot and will not uphold the laws in this state and protect our vote, which is one of the most precious civic duties a citizen can perform, then it's time to replace that elected or that election administrator with someone who will follow the law. Follow the law or be removed.
Thank you, Marsha. That's it for today. Before we go, we want to leave you with our inspirational Bible verse of the week. This week's verse is Romans 5:8. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As you can see, Citizens Defending Freedom is doing important work. Help us today in our fight to protect children and push back against radical ideologies. Please visit citizensdefendingfreedom.com where you can learn more about our organization and generously contribute to our cause. Have a great day and make sure to like us on all social media and tell your friends about the great things we're doing. God bless.